Introduce Ruth to the stage. There's one more thing I wanted to do, just to acknowledge someone. For those of you who don't know, October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And it's a time set aside each year to honor pastors who give and care in countless ways. And it's no different with Vicky as well. So I'm going to just quickly ask you to come up, if you don't mind, real quick, Vicky. I'm kind of catching you off guard, sorry. Anyways, I want to thank you so much for all your hard work, your energy, your effort. I think this is work that the toll is real, and not everyone's willing to do this kind of work. And so I just, I truly appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And the board has been truly blessed to have you in this time, this strange time of transition for us as a church. And I know our church community is blessed to have you as well. And we're very thankful to have you. And I just wanted to give you a little token of appreciation. Maybe you and Drew can go for a nice dinner and enjoy that together. Okay? All right. Give her a hand. Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to go have a seat. Okay, thank you. Now, next, on the topic of amazing women in ministry, I'm going to introduce Ruth Denboer. I met Ruth probably, I don't want to say 30 years ago, that's too far back, but it's getting there. When I was a teenager, probably 14, 15 years of age, and, she, at the time, I think you were more helping out with youth group and, as a parent of kids going to youth group. And then she eventually became a youth pastor. So I've spent hundreds and hundreds of hours with this woman, and she is an amazing person. And I'm really thrilled to have you here with us to share a bit about your current endeavor. I thought when you retired, I was like, oh, what a well-deserved retirement, and you're not going to retire, she's with the Pregnancy Support Center in Brandon, and important organization, and I'm going to let you share more about that organization, and turn it over to you. So I'm really thrilled to have you here, and it's always great to see you.
Thank you. Is it okay if I steal this music stand? I won't steal it. I'll borrow it. That's a bad habit to say that. Oh, is it going to come up for me? Yep. There we go. Because I'm of the age where I really do need notes in front of me. Wow. I've listened to some of your Vicky's sermons, Pastor Vicky's sermons online. You guys are blessed. I get to visit churches every now and again. I've been around a little bit. She's great. This guy, I understand you're the husband, the guy leading worship this morning. Wow. If you made a CD, I would listen to it all the time. You're so good. You guys, you're blessed here. Wow. It's a joy, a thrill to be here this morning, and thank you for having me. I appreciate you giving me the chance to share a little bit about Pregnancy Support Center. I'm going to tell you a little bit about the ministry. Definitely want to thank you for your past, present, and future support, whatever that might look like. I'm hoping to encourage you this morning, and maybe share some ways that you can be involved as well, if you so choose. I've been at the center for just over a year now, and I can't believe, honestly, what I've already learned and experienced. I like Josh said, previously served as an assistant pastor at Calvary Temple for 20 years on staff there, and then 6 years ago, I resigned, and my husband and I moved to the West Coast, to Chilliwack, because my parents were at end of life. And so I was born and raised out there, And I was thrilled to revisit lots of my childhood memories. My husband, Jerry, was thrilled to, as a golf lover, golf 11 and a half months of the year, and felt it was such a shame that there was maybe frost on the golf course for 2 weeks of the year, and he couldn't golf those weeks. That was hard on him. But he also discovered that he is part mountain goat, loves climbing mountains, and I had a difficult time trying to keep up with him, but he loves it. And so it was a joy for us to be there. Certainly spending that time with my parents was a blessing beyond all measure. Both of my parents were ready, longing for heaven. And so at 89 and 91, right in the middle of our craziness of COVID, unrelated to COVID, they both passed away, one in January of 2021 and one in October of 2021. And we didn't have funeral services for them. We had celebrations because we knew that they were exactly where they had longed to be. And we were very, very thankful for the loving, godly influence that they had left in our lives, and we couldn't have asked for anything more. The fact that they made 89 and 91 was remarkable to us, and we were just very, very thankful. Yeah, right in the middle of COVID, so somehow we were still able to have services for both of them and our family. Ben is my nephew. And Ben was able to attend. I think you came for Grandma's, hey? Yeah. That was wonderful for Grandpa's. He passed away in January, and it was right at that weird time of COVID where everything was locked down. I'm one of 10 children, and so I'm in the middle of the pack. And I'm an extreme middle child. That's what I kind of jokingly refer myself as. But anyway, right in the middle of COVID lockdown, somehow all 9 of my siblings were able to attend both parents' services, which was absolutely amazing. Manitoba had a small break, a very small break. You were one of the only provinces that instituted that crazy can't come in, or if you come into the province, you have to quarantine for 14 days thing. So it was right at a break in that time. So my brothers, who live in Manitoba, were actually able to drive out and attend the services for both mom and dad when that happened. So yeah, it was. We all have our crazy COVID stories, hey? And that's kind of one of my crazy COVID stories. But it was a memorable year for sure. And but at the end of 2021, when both of my parents had made their way to heaven, our kids and our grandkids were here, still in Brandon, and we knew that it was time to come back. They were chomping at the bit. I have 5 grandkids here and 2 married kids, and so we were happy to be making our way back to miss the scenery, absolutely, miss the warmer weather. But last May, we arrived back in Brandon, and you don't always realize it when you're going through things, how perfect God's timing is, but God's timing is perfect. And I happened to arrive back in Brandon at the exact time the previous director at the Pregnancy Support Center resigned because her and her husband were taking a position in Winnipeg. He was going to be the new principal of Christian school in Winnipeg. And so I stepped into that location. And, you know, the weird thing is, I would never have visualized myself at the pregnancy center. I loved the work that they did. I worked alongside them many times through my position at the church. But I'm glad that God knows us better than we know ourselves. I absolutely love, and I say that with my whole heart, love what I do every day. It is amazing. I had spent years in youth ministry, young adults, and specific focused ministry to women and moms groups and that type of thing. And somehow I never connected that it was a good fit for me until, you know, walking through this last year, I just marvel at God and his perfect timing and his perfect ways. And I'm so thankful that God saw it as a good fit. So I'm honored to be here talking about the Pregnancy Support Center. I love what God has done through this beautiful ministry in the past. I love what he's doing presently. And we are busy praying, planning, and dreaming of what the future might look like. The Pregnancy Support Center was launched in Brandon. It's almost 35 years old now. And just recently, actually, this spring, I had the opportunity to sit with the lady who actually brought the Pregnancy Center to Brandon, opened it here in Brandon. She herself experienced an abortion 50 years ago. And at that time, there was nowhere to go for help. She had no one to talk to about pregnancy options. She was not a believer at that time, and so she, unfortunately, was very negatively affected by the abortion that she had had, and she suffered silently, as many, many do. And those were years of a lot of struggle for her and a lot of pain, but through that, God brought her into a relationship with him. And when God began to heal her heart, she realized that there's nothing more that she would like to do than start a place, open a place for women to come and have somebody to talk to, a safe place where they could sit and talk about pregnancy options, a safe place where they could talk about parenting, all of those things, even if they had had an abortion, somewhere that they could come and talk and maybe have some healing brought back to their life. So this is her effort, and I just can't even imagine. It's inspiring to think about how many women, families, have been touched and changed and blessed over the years because of this brave woman who was willing to take an unfortunate situation in her life and turn it around, allow God to turn it around and bring good from it. It's amazing for me to think how many people in our area have been touched over the years because of her willingness to do that. That's a hard thing. It's a hard thing. She's coming from an era where there's so much shame attached to abortion. And so for her to step out and have the courage to do that, I'm in awe of her bravery and just the goodness of God. So we recognize with thankful hearts at the center the prayer, the commitment of past staff and volunteers, the years of faithfulness that have gone into making the center what it is today. There's been lots of changes over the years, and as 35 years ago, you just put your brain back there, you know, and realize what was appropriate on TV and what was not appropriate. Our times have changed so much in the last 35 years. I'm actually so glad that my parents are in heaven, because I just don't know how much more they could handle of watching the world change around us. But the mission, it was so cool to sit and talk with this lady that that started the center all those years ago. The mission that she started, the very mission that she started the center with, is actually still our mission today. And I really love that fact, that it has not really shifted or pivoted much at all. Our mission was and still is to bring hope and healing to women and families who need support with pregnancy, parenting options, and parenting. We do envision a community where I'll tell you a story about that in a second, where every life has value and no one faces pregnancy or parenting alone. The difference of one word. The difference of one word, right? Oh, my goodness. I opened, this is a story I should tell you, though, because it's the impact of one word. somebody, an organization, had prepared some boxes that we could potentially give out to families who have lost a child. And this is like kind of a professional organization that did this. And so I ordered a couple because I just wanted to see sort of what was in it and go through it and make sure that it was all stuff that we would, you know, be happy with and want to give out to families that we are serving. And I was going through one of the boxes and there was a sealed card in it. And somebody from their organization so kindly had written a little note to a grieving family who had just lost a child. Keep that in your mind. So I thought, you know, I'm not comfortable just giving a sealed note to a family without actually knowing what's inside. So I opened it up and I read it. And the first line was, "You are alone." They meant to put, "You are not alone." That's the difference one word can make. And I was so glad that I opened that card before giving it to a family. The difference of one word in a sentence can have a huge bearing on what it actually means. Wow. That was a sidetrack, but anyway. So one would think that life at the pregnancy center, because we're dealing with babies and the joy of babies welcoming into families and all that, would be wonderful. Every day would be wonderful, but there is a lot of joy. We goo-goo over every baby that comes through the door, and we just love them to pieces. But there is also lots of messy, messy situations that we encounter. And it really helps me to understand that we live in a very messy and broken world. There's a great song by Chris Tomlin called "He is Worthy." And the first time of this, or the first line of the song is this question. He asks questions and then people respond back. And the question that he asks is, "Do you feel the world is broken?" And you can hear this choir come in and they say, "We do." And then you can hear another question in the song. He asks another question, "Do you feel the shadows deepen?" And this choir comes in and says, "We do." And then he asks this third question that is really the question that we need to pay most attention to. It says, "But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?" And you can hear the choir resound with "We do." And I think that's the part. We can get lost in the darkness. And is there any news buffs in here? You just love watching the news? Yeah, I do too. I find it hard to not watch the news, but I'm telling you, sometimes that's a dark trail to go down to, isn't it? Like, we live in a fairly broken world, and I hope we can all agree on that fact. Things are not good on a lot of fronts. But this line, that line of the song, "But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?" That is key. That is key for us as believers to know. We have to know that is true. We know that God's plans, God's intention for humanity is set, and we have it's planned. It's already planned, and whether we want to know it or not, it's going to happen. And God is, He wins. He's the victor, and we need to know that too, and we need to keep that in mind even when we're watching, you know, the news or hearing stories that are just dark and hard to hear. We just need to know that God, He wins. So I love that song, but it's so reflective of what I see happening in our world around us. You don't have to look very far to know the world is pretty broken. But, you know, in the last 35 years, although the world has changed a lot, I'm so glad that the mission of the center has stayed the same. God has challenged us as a center over the years to pull out of the political arena, as many moral decisions have become sort of politicized. We pulled out of the political arena and really pushed into like being a hands-on, tangible, meet-the-needs kind of center. And that's what we are today. We are dedicated to love everyone who calls or comes through our doors regardless of the outcome they choose, meaning although we value life from conception on, we do not judge anyone for the choice they make. We are committed to care, to listen, to educate, and to offer practical solutions for parenting. And most of all, we are committed to walk the journey with them, whatever that looks like. At present, we have a wonderful staff and a great team of volunteers, and we are so blessed and so thankful for every single one of them. Awareness of the center over the last few years, probably mostly due to social media, to be honest, one of the positive benefits of social media, it has increased the awareness of the center in our area, the Westman area. And so we you know, a couple years back, the average yearly client was about 240-ish, 250 clients per year. Last year we had over 1,100. And this year we are even higher with our numbers. So we are in constant conversation with our staff and our board, how we see ourselves growing and what we can do to better meet the needs and service our area. There's just a, you know, there's a couple things that have played a real factor in our numbers being as high as they are. One, there's a downturn in the economy for sure. And so people are struggling in ways that they maybe weren't 10 or 15 years ago. Secondly, there's a lot of immigration in Brandon, as we all know. And it's wonderful, but it's bringing a lot of need as well. So, you know, there's factors and, you know, probably, honestly, social media has brought great awareness to the center too. So we've seen a real increase in our client load. And we give out, one of the things that we do is we have a care closet, and, you know, people from Brandon, people from the Westman area, they donate used baby clothes up to like toddler two kind of thing to us, baby items, cribs, car seats, all kinds of things, which we are so grateful for. We know that people could be selling these things, but instead of selling them, they are giving them to us to pass them on to families in need. And we are so, so grateful for that. And we have a policy with our clients. They can come once a month. They can phone once a month. And they can come and pick up a bag, quite a large bag, full of baby clothes appropriate to their baby's size or baby items, whatever they might need. And we probably are at least giving out 100 bags a month now. It's just incredible. Like they know the day of the month that it's their day to call, and they're on the phone asking for, you know, a refreshment of diapers and wipes and baby clothes and whatnot. So the need is definitely there. We're just trying to figure out how to best serve it. So we offer free pregnancy tests and all kinds of things, and definitely make time to sit and speak with women when they are in the decision-making time with pregnancy options. Most women, you know, kind of recognize three options: parenting, adoption, abortion. But we try to offer almost like a fourth option, which is coming alongside and supporting. And you know, we will help them resource everything from like a bassinet, a crib, a car seat, all of the hard good items that cost a lot of money. We will help them resource those things right to, you know, monthly support with these bags that they can come and get of diapers and wipes and that type of thing. And that almost becomes a fourth option for women. And it is unbelievable how many women make their choice to keep the baby based on the fact that they realize they will have somebody supporting them. They will have somewhere to go for help. Because honestly, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, there's really nobody that truly wants an abortion. It's just things are complicated and messy. And most of the time, women honestly feel like there is no other option. And so coming and hearing that there is another option, women break into tears all the time and are just so relieved because it's not what they wanted to do anyway. We meet very few women that are absolutely 100% convinced that it's the right thing for them. We do offer post-abortion support as well because we recognize the fact that this is a very difficult and challenging decision for women to make. It also affects men tremendously at times. It's a very, very difficult thing to maneuver through. And so we are glad to meet with couples or women or men who are facing the effects of what an abortion has done in their lives. And we just don't want people to sit silently and have to go through the pain of that. It's a very difficult thing. So we see a lot of pain and hopelessness. Every one of our clients comes from beautiful but complicated stories. And we are honored to be able to walk with them through this part of their journey, celebrate with them, lots of times cry with them, and continue to support them on their parenting journey. I'd like to spend a few minutes today looking at some scripture from Isaiah 61. This is a passage of scripture that I've always personally really loved and felt particularly drawn to. In the past year, I would say, though, God has really challenged my heart with it and drawn me to this passage continually and in new ways. And so I'd like to share a few thoughts with you from it. I struggle with this passage. It brings me to tears often. I'm sorry if that happens today. I will try to not lose my composure, but I apologize in advance if that happens. This is what Isaiah 61, 1-3 says. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it the day of God's anger against their enemies. To all who mourn in Israel, he will give a crown of beauty for ashes, a joyous blessing instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair. In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for his own glory. And we actually read these verses again in Scripture in Luke 4. We read these verses because Jesus is now speaking in the synagogue. It's his first time speaking in the synagogue, and he is handed the scroll of Isaiah to read from, and he chooses these same verses to read. And when he finished reading, he went on to say that the scripture, this passage of scripture, was actually fulfilled that day through him. Unfortunately, because people had no idea what he was talking about at that time, that did not go well for him. He was kicked out of the synagogue and actually escorted out of town. So they did not understand what he was actually talking about. But I think what he was really saying, if we could summarize it, is he was saying, this is my why. This is why I came. The people of the Old Testament scripture, the people that the Old Testament scripture was written about, they were broken people. They were lost in their negative thinking. They couldn't see any hope. They couldn't believe for a better life going forward. Back in those days, God designed this absolutely beautiful thing, kind of like an opportunity for a reset, known as the Year of Jubilee. It happened once every 50 years. And in that year, there was a celebration, and slaves could be released, and those in prison could be set free to kind of have a reset in their life. So what Jesus was saying was this scripture was being fulfilled through him. He was explaining his why, the reason he came to earth. We might be hearing the word reset right now in our news. Anybody heard it recently? I've heard it. Yep. China and Russia talking about reset. But you know what? Honestly, Jesus came and brought the great reset. It's been done. When he gave his life, when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, he brought the great reset of all time. Because now we can live with the promise of eternal life, not because of anything we've done, not because we deserve it, not because we're that good, but because God loves us. He offers us this tremendous reset in our life. And we can't earn it in any way, anything that we could ever do. It's a gift. This is great news. It's great news for us, and it's great news for all of humanity. So based on the worship that I experienced here today, I believe this is a gift that many have already experienced. But the thing is, this scripture tells us we can't stop with the understanding of just that, because there is actually action attached to this passage. The action words are sent, tell, proclaim. We have been given a mandate to take the good news and share it with others. We also see the term anointed. God is actually equipping us to take his heart, his love, into a broken world, into our broken world. God's anointing is for us to carry that light into the darkness. One commentary that I read explained it this way. This mandate anointing was to reverse the oppressed circumstances and affect a transformation in identity and activity. Oh man, I love those two words. Identity and activity. Because how many of you know what we think about ourselves affects how we act? And if we can have a correct thinking about who we are, our identity, it's going to change how we live. And I think of the women that I get to meet, the beautiful souls who have, they've lived with such pain. They've lived with such awful things in their lives. And they have this much self-respect sometimes, or even less. Their actions line up with who they think they are. I'm so glad we can tell them that is not who you are. We have the opportunity to carry this light, this message of reset, this message of hope to a broken and hopeless world. And it is our mandate as believers. It's what we're called to do as Christians. It doesn't matter if we're in school or at work or wherever we are. Even in our family situations very often, this is our mandate to carry this good news into a broken and hurting world. I find it truly incredible that with the power of God infused in us, we can have this life transformational effect on people. That's just astounding for me to think. It's like Jesus was taking the message of God's love and putting wheels on it. He was saying, take this and go with it. So we're taking this idea that we cherish in our hearts, salvation. It's for me. It affected my life. It changed me. But it's not supposed to stay only with me. If I truly get it, I have to also recognize that there's another part to it. And that part is proclaiming, taking the good news. So we are called to love justice and live mercy. God's desire for justice and mercy is to be lived out beyond what happens in church on Sundays. It's great that we meet together. This is a safe place to come. Bring your needs. Let's pray about them together. Let's encourage each other. Let's worship together. It's so great to come and do that. But this is not what it's about right here. It's what happens when we get outside these doors. what we do when we're at school, what we do when we're at work, what we do in our family situations. That's what really living the Christian life is about. Justice and mercy are about aligning what we do with the values of who God is and God's intention for creation. Everyday actions are infused with God's heart. God's heart for justice and mercy was meant to be our everyday lifestyle. God's personal call on our lives means combining his command to love justice and live mercy with a whole life of spiritual depth and integrity. Many of our clients walk in such deep, deep shame. When women come into the center and sit down with us and start unpacking the painful histories of their lives, you can hear that they are honestly trying to do the best for their family. They long to be heard and seen. They need hope and healing. In these moments, we know 100% that God is giving us the opportunity to love them for him. We know that. Many of these women have only ever known pain and mistreatment. Many of them have seen the inside of several women's shelters and know years of abuse. So to have someone connect with them, sit with them, and make it a safe place where they can open their heart and start unpacking some of the unfortunate situations of their life and say, I see you. It's powerful and potentially life-changing. It is so humbling and beautiful to work together as humans to care for the weak, the unwell, the victims, the vulnerable, and those struggling among us. As challenging as it is, we know as the center, we are called to bring hope and healing to pregnant women and families dealing with struggles around these issues. We are privileged to work alongside amazing agencies in our area to help people struggling with addictions, mental health, poverty, and lots of difficulties. We believe that we're called to work together to help people find new hope, new promise, and build a stronger and healthier community who will in turn, once they have a new identity, who will in turn then be able to parent their children well. We have a housing program where we are able to, we have four apartments that we are able to house women in, single women with babies, or who might be pregnant, ready to have a baby. Because it's not just a housing program, it's actually a program. They come in, they sign on with us, they come and live in our suites, and we're able to make, goals with them, an individual development plan, things that they can work towards. We can do programming with them on a weekly basis. There's group every week with these women. We, cover things like healthy relationships and positive parenting and all sorts of things like that. We see this as an opportunity to just go deeper with these women who are alone and parenting. And we believe it's a time where we can really impact change in who they are. And so we're so thankful to be able to have a housing program that we work with as well. There's many women that, because we have four suites, lots of times they're filled, and women come to us, and we're still able to work with them and help them find housing and help them settle and all those things. And we're just so grateful to be able to have a place in Brandon where we can invite women in. So overall, the impact of what we do at the center is a very hard thing to actually measure, except for to say we strongly believe that if we can provide resources to build healthy parenting situations today, we will reap the benefits for generations to come, because we believe that it's literally, it's potentially changing people's lives, their identity, and therefore it will affect how they live their life. We are extremely thankful for the support that we receive from churches and individuals and businesses in our Westman community. We realize that together God is calling us, his representatives, to bring good news to the poor and comfort the brokenhearted. You can partner with us by praying for us. Some days are tough. And that's probably an understatement. But it's challenging. And if you would consider partnering with us to pray for us, we would love you to pray for our staff, for our volunteers, and for our clients. These are dear citizens, neighbors, friends who live in our area who are struggling, and God loves them, and he wants a better life for them going forward. And so we count it such a privilege to be able to be a part of that journey. You can volunteer. We would love to have you join our volunteer staff. If you have time and you're looking for something to just bring a little bit of community to you, definitely give us a call. Come and see us. Our volunteers are the ones that take all of the clothing donations that come in. They sort it. If you like folding baby clothes, you'll love it. But they take all the baby clothes that come in and wash them and sort them and get them ready in the buckets so that we can fill these bags of clothing nonstop for our mamas that come in. It takes a lot of hands to make that work light, but we have a great volunteer staff, and if you're interested, we'd love for you to join us. Our campaign for this fall for giving is 25 for 25. We would love to have 25 new people join our giving group and just offer to give $25 a month. We feel like $25 a month for most families is a pretty doable size donation, and having monthly donations is really good for a center like ours because it helps us to regularly schedule things. And so you might think that what can $25 a month do, but actually it can do a lot. It can do a lot. And so when we pull together, it can accomplish a lot. So we're looking for new people to sign up to help us by giving $25 a month. If that's something that you'd like to do, feel free to check out the website. You can donate right from the website. You can even sign up for monthly from the website, or you can call us and we can do automatic withdrawal from your bank account too. Whatever suits you. If this is something that God's putting on your heart and you'd love to help us in that way, great. But we value prayer above all, because we know that we cannot do what we do without God's covering on us. So thank you so much for that. In closing, I believe we are called and anointed. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you do, you are called and anointed to carry the message of good news into our world. We have a mandate over our lives as believers. It's to live justice, to love justice and live mercy. Love justice and live mercy. Bringing hope, bringing healing, and creating new identities. And I might have wrote that wrong, did I? Love justice, live mercy, that's right. And yes, we are living in a dark and broken world, but God is the source of light, and he is the source of everything right. And we can know for sure that all the darkness around us cannot keep the light from shining through. Thank you so much for listening to me this morning, ramble on about the Pregnancy Center. If you have any questions or you'd like to come and check us out, we'd love for you to just come and have a visit, see what we're all about, and if you want to join us in some way, we would love that too. Thanks for your support, past, present, and future. Can I just pray a blessing over us today as we leave? Father, thank you. Thank you that we are part of something so much bigger than just really what we see on Sundays right in front of us. We are part of your work globally. We are part of your family on this huge level that reaches into every corner of every situation on the planet. And Lord, you've actually called us to carry your light into the darkness. And this is how we affect what's going on in the world around us. We are willing to walk with you. We are willing to go with you, to be equipped by you, to carry your light into the darkness. And God, this is how change happens. So Father, thank you for the dear people here this morning. Thank you for the call that you've placed on each one of our lives. Father, thank you that as terrifying as it is sometimes to step out into situations that are new and challenging, you don't ask us to do that without your help. You have anointed us. You have given us your spirit within us to equip us to be able to do everything that you're calling us to do. And we're the first to say, I'm the first to say, God, I'm not equipped myself to do this, but you equip us to be able to reach into dark and scary places sometimes. But those dark and scary places need the light that we carry. So God, help us to be brave soldiers for you. Help us to be brave believers. And take this mandate into whatever situation you've called us to. Carry the light into the darkness, that we would be able to see lives transformed and changed all around us. Thank you for the opportunity of being part of a great big body of believers. It's not just us few. We are part of a much, much larger body of believers, and we all work together for the same goal, for the same purpose. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that we are part of your family. We are so delighted with that today, God. It is overwhelming to realize what you've blessed us with in our own personal lives, this wonderful reset. Help us to help others find the same reset in their lives. Thank you, God. I pray your blessing on this church, on this congregation, the future that you have for them. God, I pray that you would instill within them opportunity to believe for something great coming as they are a part of your family. And I love the saying, if it's not good, it's not done, because you're a good God. So God, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing right now. Thank you for what you're doing in the future. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share today.